from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Drives around listening to this all day in his car.
Ask him.
You walk into his house and it's just like you open the door and this is the doorbell.
Ask him.
It's like I'm just driving around listening to my walk-in song. With his like hair out of the convertible that he doesn't have anymore. Oh wait, I can't start ragging on before it comes on.
You can actually. That's the safe time to do it. Joining us on the River Islands guest line is none other than Rob Nen. Willard and FP Santangelo here with you. Dibs is out. And it's smoke on the water, which I wonder if that ever gets old, first and foremost. Does it ever get old, Rob?
Never gets old. Brings back great memories of San Francisco.
Perfect. And then our producer, director of sports, Lucas Alexander, is all hot on the idea of calling this segment the Nymph Inning, which I figure you've also probably heard that like a billion times in your life, right?
Heard a billion times. Well, hopefully I hear another billion times.
Okay. Yeah. Darn. Hey, that doesn't get old either. It is. Well, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Nymph Inning with Mr. Smoke on the Water, Rob Nen. How are you, bud?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Obviously, we're heading into a weekend where it's like the last ever Giants and A's as we know it. How does that hit you?
God, man, it's you know, when you guys asked me to do this today, and that was kind of what you guys were talking about. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that it's kind of coming to an end. It just seems like it's I don't know, not the right thing. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, this whole thing, and who knows where it's going to go. And do you have any moments that you remember from that series? I was trying to explain to Mark, Rob, I don't think it's that big of a deal to the players. I know that we played those games, and sometimes there was a little more electric atmosphere than normal, but it wasn't like playing the Dodgers or anything. Do you have any memories of some moments during those series?
You know, not one that truly sticks out. It was just, for us, it was just basically a road game that we could stay home and be a part of it. But there was definitely some rivalry a little bit. I mean, everybody, you know, you want to win every game, and every game means something. But I think that just kind of, there was a little bit more to those games. Definitely maybe not quite as much like the Dodgers series, but it definitely meant something to all of us.
I'm trying to remember when interleague play started, because obviously there's a bunch of Giants out there who they sort of had this experience, but it was largely exhibition games. So this started basically right before you got to the Giants. Is that right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it seems like interleague's been around a long time, so it's... It's been around a while, I guess.
I mean, was that like when you think back to the Giants playing the A's? Because yeah, Lucas is saying this all started in 1997, and I know you joined the Giants in 98. Was that? I would imagine the first versions of regular season Giants A's. You were there, so was there kind of a novelty to it at that time?
Yeah, I think so. I think the way they used to do the interleague was a lot better back then. I mean, it was kind of right during the middle of the season. you'd play those games and you'd get them over with, and then you could kind of get back to your division or the East, West, or Central, wherever you weren't in, and get back to that. So I think now with them doing the interleague all year round, you know, I'm not quite as much into that as it used to be the old days. But yeah, I mean, we all look forward to playing those games for sure.
I think the best part is what you mentioned. We got to drive in our cars to the game, to Oakland, play the game, and get in our car and drive home. We'd have to stay in a hotel or get on the bus. They had buses, but nobody took them. So we go over to Oakland, play the game, cruise home as fast as we could. Some of us actually raced to the ballpark for money, but I won't say that. Like, probably shouldn't say that out loud on the air. All right, enough about the A's Giants. You've been paying attention to the Giants this year. If you could tell Camilo Duvall one thing, being the established closer that you are with a resume unlike most, what would you tell Camilo Duvall right now?
You know, I think he needs to go down and you know, since he got sent down, is go down there and bust his butt to get himself back up, figure out what he was doing wrong, and whether that was getting behind, you know, behind in the count, whether it was giving up too many hits, or whether it was just the mental side of the closing part. I mean, listen, that guy's got great stuff. He's going to be back to the big league sooner than later, and he's going to dominate when he comes back. And this might just be a little eye-opening experience for him to, like, hey, listen, you know what? It's time to turn around, time to be the dominant closer and be the guy that he was last year and the guy that he should be for the next 10 or 15 years.
Did you ever have a year where the stuff just wasn't there, it wasn't coming out, and you had to just fight and scrap and claw and make adjustments on the fly all season long?
You know, yeah. If you go back and look at my years, I think it was the even years. That was the years, actually the odd years maybe, that were bad for me. And it seemed like every other year wasn't quite as good as the year before. So, yeah, I mean, you have struggles every year. And it's a kind of a momentum thing, is once you kind of get in that struggle mode, it kind of keeps going. You still may be getting people out. You still may be getting the job done, but it may not be quite as crisp and clean as it should be. So for me, there was always kind of a little lull in there that I kind of struggled. And, you know, you just, one of those things you have to work through, and you really have to realize that, you know, you're going to go out, and there's going to be days you're going to go out and get work and give up some runs. And there's days that you're going to go out and save ball games that you're not going to give up anything. So there's a lot of things that factor in on your ERA and your wins and all that stuff. But the main thing is, as long as you get your saves ratio and all that stuff down, you know, that's your job. Your job is to go out and save games, not to have a greater ERA.
Rob Nunn joining us on 95.7 The Game. Rob, I wonder your perspective on this. It's been well documented that Duvall sort of expressed to the Giants, I'm not comfortable coming in a non-save situation. Is that a fair thing for a closer to say to his team?
No. You know, for me, it was, you know, I was pitching, I was getting paid every day. So for me, if they wanted me to pitch, that was what the deal was. And so for me to go out there to pitch in a game, now listen, if the game's out of control one way or another, and I had pitched two or three days in a row, you know, let's say I'd pitched, you know, three or four days in a row or whatever the case may be, and we were up by five runs, you know, maybe I needed a break that day, and that was a day to get a break. But for the most part, I always like to try to be in a game every third day if I didn't pitch. So there was days I went out there looking to get some work done. But with that point being said, I would never have told them that, you know, I don't want to come in those games. I want to come in and just save games. And you know, for him to do something like that, it's I'm not sure why he's saying it or what the you know, what sense it makes, but, you know, you're there to pitch. You're there to, you know, you're there to get people out. You're there to finish a game. And if your manager, you know, if you haven't pitched a lot and your manager says, hey, you know, you haven't been in the game in two or three, 4 days, you know, let's get you a five run lead game and just get you some work and get it done. So Dusty handed me the ball and I went out and pitched.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to a guy that gave his right arm for the San Francisco Giants to win a World Series.
Yep.
I mean, so he's going to take the ball. Rob, we used to joke on the back of the plane. Do you remember that? We're drinking beers, and I'm like, you're leading the National League in four-run lead saves. Dusty believed that a 4-run lead was the same as a 3-run lead, and you were going, you would be up. I ask you this all the time, and we've talked about it on the air before. You would be up in the bullpen, and the Giants would have a 3-run lead. It's a save opportunity, and I'd say, were you rooting for me to make an out there with a runner in scoring position? So that 4th run came in, I screwed up your save in the bottom of the 8th, and you're like, no. But like Rob, like Dusty believed that 4-run lead was the same as a 3-run lead, so he used Nenner all the time.
Sure.
I mean, that's why his arm fell off. Like, he'd take the ball, he'd go in there all the time. He's a gamer. When he didn't have his A stuff, he's still going to compete. And if I'm being honest on the air, and I don't know a whole lot about Camilo Duvall because I don't sit with him on the back of the plane like I did with Nenner. Like, that's the separator to me from good closer to great closer. It's on the days when you don't have your A stuff, when you don't know where it's going, slider spinning out of your hand, velocity's 96 instead of 99. Like, those are the days when you just, here, I'm just going to compete. I'm going to do my toe tap. I'm coming right at you. And that's what Rob Nen represented. It was more than just the smoke on the water and here comes this badass out of the bullpen to save a game. He could beat you on his worst days, and I think that's something that Camilo Duvall has to learn.
Well, I think you got to realize that a 300 hitter is going to get out 7 out of 10 times, right? So you got to realize that, yeah, for those 3 times, he's going to get hit, but you're hoping you're going to catch those 7. Even if you don't have your best stuff, you still should be able to go out there and get people out with not having your great stuff and not having your best stuff. And I think that's the one thing that kind of gets lost in pitchers this nowadays is that, you know, they start taking guys out late in the game, starters wise, and because maybe they're losing their stuff a little bit. But with that being said, we all went through dead arms 2 and 3 times a year, so we still had to pitch those days. We still had to figure out how to get guys out. And if you look, like you say, if you look at stats, I mean, 7 out of 10 times, I'm going to get you out, FB. The other 3 times, you're going to get. You know, you're going to get hit. So the odds are in our favor to go out and have you hit an absolute bullet to the first baseman and get out. Well, there's an out. So we have to realize that he has to realize that he still can get guys out with not as great stuff. He just has to learn how to pitch and learn how to take the good with the bad.
Rob, I don't know if you could hear him because he whispered it, but you said, hey, 7 times I'm going to get you out. 3 times you're going to get a hit. FP actually said, no, 2. 2 times he's going to get a hit.
Well, listen, FP was a great player. He was fun. He was tough, always tough, you know, when I faced him to try to get him out and all that stuff because he was patient. And, you know, he'd go the other way, he'd bunt, he'd hit bullets to the gap. He did everything. And that's, for me, those were the tough guys. You know, I'd rather face McGuire that I know that I can, you know, I'm going to need to get him out. He's going to hit a home run. The guys like FP, they're just going to kind of nibble and hit bullets the other way, flare one over third base. You know, jam it over second base, bullet up the middle, whatever it is. So for me, those were the tough guys. And, you know, he was willing to take a walk and do everything. So, but with that being said, we still got to go out and get people out when we don't have our best stuff. And I think that's the whole premises of what we're talking about is like, Duvall's just got to figure out, you know, I don't have my 80, 99, 100, whatever it is, but I can still get people out because 7 out of 10 times they're going to get themselves out.
I was in West Palm Beach as a West Palm Beach Expo in the Florida State League in 1990. And there was this pitcher for the Port Charlotte Rangers that we heard through over 100 miles an hour. And his name was Rob Nen. He was a starting pitcher. That was the first time I ever faced triple-digit velocity, the guy we're talking to right now. I was 22. He was 21. We were just coming up, this big prospect for the Rangers. He's starting pitcher, throwing 100. I remember on the on-deck circle, Chris Pollock, who pitched at Florida State, back in the day, the starting pitchers used to sit in the stands with a speed gun. And I'm on deck, and Nenner's pitching. And I look at him, and he goes, 102 with his fingers. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm an on-deck. I got to face 102. So he owned me in A-ball. And then fast forward to when he's a Marlin winning World Series, and he's in Florida, and he does that toe tap thing, and I'm doing the 3 toe taps back, and he's still I'm like, how am I out in front of 101? Because when he taps, I'm striding. I'm pulling it foul. He owned me the whole – so now fast forward to the end of my career, I'm a Dodger. I'm hitting below 200. Dave Hanson, the best pinch hitter all of baseball. He owned Rob, like one of the only guys that could hit Nenner. Like Dave Hanson, he had success. I'm like, what are you seeing off this guy, dude? And he's like, don't stride when he toe taps. Like, just stay back. And just when he taps, that's when you go back. Don't go forward with your stride. And the only hit I ever got off Rob Nen was that day as a Dodger at the ballpark down here in the corner of 3rd and King after Dave Hansen told me this, and I got a line drive up the middle. I'm like, finally! Why didn't somebody tell me that 15 years ago in A-ball with the toe tap thing?
Okay, do the two of you, because Grandy just whispered it to me, do the two of you know what your major league stats against Rob Nen? Do you guys know what they are?
No, I'm probably like 1-for-20 or something.
1-for-20? Rob, what would you guess?
I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you.
How many times do you think he struck you out?
Every time?
the internet says that you were 1-for-8 with 2 strikeouts and a walk.
All right.
FD?
That's not bad. I'm kind of proud of that. That got a hit off one of the greatest closers of all time.
But when Rob said you'd get 3 hits and you said you'd get 2, the actual answer is 1. That's 1.
Yeah, it is. Well, I still have 2 more at bats. Yeah,
that's true. You do. You have 2 more at bats.
I probably would have went 1-for-2.
Chances are you're going to get out in both of those at bats.
That's funny.
Hey, Rob, when we talk to people who kind of are your guys, all of our age brackets, some of them have a hard time like enjoying the game today. Do you still like the game?
You know, I love the game.
Long
the game
pause. There was a long pause. Dude.
I could hit a ball through that gap, Rob.
I don't like the way the game is played or with the analytics. I think the analytics is definitely a part of the game. I don't think it should be everything in the game. And I think the way the game is going, it's definitely changing. Whether it's good or bad, you know, it's passed me by. So it's a different generation for me. But for me, I love the old school where you can take a guy out at second or short, take a guy at home plate, throw into a guy, and you know, just play the game the way it was supposed to be. You know, you look at the old days with Marichal and all these guys throwing up and in and knocking guys down. Guys would take guys out at second base. And for me, that's the way the game's supposed to be played. It's supposed to be hard-nosed. Dirty, not dirty as far as like plays wise. And I'm saying, you know, diving for balls and going to second, taking guys out, and playing the game that we grew up playing. And so for me, it's hard to watch the game now. I say the game's passed me by, so it's I'm different generation, but that's just the way I like it.
Yeah, I mean, you were a gamer through and through. If Rob was a position player, he would have run over catchers. He would have broke up double plays.
Yep.
He would have gotten brawls all the time. How's Jendy doing? How are the girls? How's everything going?
They're good, dude. They're good. We just had one get married this summer, which is nice, and one graduate from college, which is nice, and now we're just trying to keep going and stay healthy and do everything right.
Well, you look good, dude. I mean, you haven't aged a bit. Every time I see you on Instagram, like, he's still handsome as ever. He's like Benjamin Button. He's like Barry. He's going the other way, dude. He's getting younger every year.
Yeah.
I love Rob's answer, but how are the kids? He's like, well, I don't have to pay for 2 of them anymore. So they're great. They're doing great.
Yeah, exactly.
Rob, thanks, man. Fun to talk to you.
Anytime, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, okay. Dude.
There goes Rob Nen joining us here on 95.7 The Game. FP in for Dibs on Willard and Dibs. That was fun. That was a big old gap when I asked him if he still liked the game.
Nobody does. We have these reunions where I see Rob and I see all the former Giants and Murph's Wall of Fame thing last summer. And I mean, does this happen every generation where the one before us said these guys are all cheating, they're on steroids,
that's why the hair on the back of my neck goes up sometimes, or at least like my antennas go up, because I've sort of tried to make it a thing in my life where I think that this is actually an industry thing, because literally the day that I got hired to Major Market Radio, I had somebody who I thought might be a mentor kind of sit down and go, well, get him to sign you to as many years as you can, and we'll play as if this is real for as long as we can. And he was like in his 50s and so beaten up and negative about the industry. And all I did was promise myself that day, I go, I don't ever want to be that guy. I know this industry is crazy. I know it's hard. I know it's competitive. I'm signing up for it. I don't ever want to be that guy. So I'm super aware of this idea that like automatically, because I'm turning 50 here in like 5 months, like automatically you turn 50 or you turn 60 and you hate everything. And I never want to be that. So the answer to your question is maybe. maybe you just turn 50 or 60 and you automatically think everything is not as good as it used to be.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Or maybe it was a beautiful game that's been ruined by a lot of, not ruined, that's a strong word, changed by a lot of sterility, for lack of a better word.
I think that there's probably some marks to give on both sides of that conversation. Like,
it used to be a manly man's game, man. If you didn't play hard and you didn't break up a double play, you didn't play. If the catcher had the ball and you didn't slide hard into home or run him over, you didn't play.
Okay, but there's also some like total lack of logic there. Like, yes, play hard, but at what point, like where, this is not football. I always thought this was weird. And this
I always thought it was.
Yeah, because this is not because Buster Posey broke a leg. It's not. I never understood where it was like, this is baseball. And then in this one instant, only in this one instance, you can just truck a human being. You can't do it at first. You can't do it at second. You can't do it at third. But if it's home plate, I'm allowed to destroy this person's life and try to blow.
You're being so dramatic.
No, it's true.
So dramatic.
No, but dude, it makes no sense. Why was that okay?
Because scoring runs is the name of the game, and if that guy's blocking the plate that I need to score to win a ball game, I'm going to try to knock the ball loose.
But getting to third base is important, too.
Not as important as home.
You can't tackle the third baseman.
Not as important as home. The name of the game, scoring runs and crossing home plate.
But tackling is not the name of the game. It's not. So I get it.
I understand.
I'm just challenging everyone's manhood here.
It was fun.
Fine. It was fun, except for certain players like Ray Fosse where it wasn't. But my point is I never understood just that one aspect. I never got, why can you tackle a catcher?
You can't tackle him. You just knock him on his ass.
No, that's tackling.
No, you can't wrap up.
Yes, you could. Who was going to stop you back then?
I was on third in a pitching change. Get ready for the bloops.
What?
I was on third for a pitching change in Baltimore. First interleague series ever. And Pete McCannon was the third base coach for the Expos, and Cal was playing third. And Pete goes, contact play. And Cal goes, yeah, FP, if you get in a rundown, you get in a rundown, let the batter get the second. I'm like, no, Cal, Felipe wants us to go all the way through. He's betting on you or Robbie or Alomar or whoever, Roberto, who was playing first? I can't remember, but he said, Felipe wants us to run through in case the infielder bobbles it because you're putting pressure on him to go all the way through. And I go, and if the throw beats me, I'm going to run over your catcher. Literally two pitches later, ground ball to Bordick at short. Remember when Bordick played short and they moved Cal to third? I think that was one of the first years. And I ran over Chris Hoyles, crushed him, and he left the game. The ball knocked loose. We ended up winning that game because of that run, 3-2. I went and knocked on their clubhouse door after. I felt so bad.
See, you felt guilty.
I did. I said, how's Chris doing? Could I talk to him, man? I was just trying to, and everyone's like, oh, it was a clean hit.
Yeah.
Because there was dirty hits and there was clean hits. If you went up high around the head, it's a dirty hit. But if you went kind of toward the torso and did the whole, like, crush into his chest protector, I always felt like he had all the gear on and I didn't.
I get that.
So he still had an advantage. I'm 5'9", 180 pounds, and he's, catchers are big.
I get it. I'm not even really rendering an opinion here. I just always found it visually odd. I found it to be a strange thing. It's like, yes, you can tackle this person in this situation. You can't do this anywhere else on the field at any point in any game, but you can do it here. That's weird. That's just weird. I always thought it was weird.
Okay.
Not like offended by it, but it was odd.
I thought it was cool. Yeah. I was bummed. I'm sure Buster would have said.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I see, that's what I'm talking about. I do think, especially dudes.
We're so reactive.
Well, you get to 55 and all of a sudden, men aren't men anymore. Well, no, it's just stop.
It's never been more true.
It's never been more true in our society today. Because you're that age.
We're soft.
Maybe.
Everybody's soft.
Or it's different.
It's soft.
Or it's different and you have no idea how it's
offended and soft.
There's some truth to what you're saying.
There is.
But you also have
I do sound old.
But you have no idea what it's like to be a teenager now also, right?
I'm soft too.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Like, I always give, this is totally off track, but this is one thing whenever that stupid barbershop LeBron and Michael Jordan thing comes up,
yeah,
which I can't stand anymore. I'm so tired of it. But I always give a nod. In just this one aspect, this one category, I give LeBron a nod that no one ever thinks about, which is that Michael Jordan never had to deal with social media. He didn't have to deal with, like, what it's like now. where, like, on one possession in the fourth quarter of a playoff game, if you shoot a shot off the back iron, your legacy has been changed. You are a choke job, and the world is buzzing about it. Michael never had to deal with that. LeBron has. Steph has. That's a thing.
It is a thing. I talk to Giants players that they read their Instagram comments after a bad outing, and there's death threats on there.
Don't do it.
I know. But you can turn it off.
Turn it off.
But if you do turn it off, what happens is your family screenshots it and sends it to you in a text message anyways. So you can't turn it off.
Exactly.
You can sign off on Instagram and block everybody, and your family still sees it. They're like, can you believe this guy said that? And they screenshot it and send it to you in a text.
Yeah, I believe it. All right. 888-957-9570. The new fresh Aiyuk stuff that you do need to hear.
Ooh.
It is still, let's do that at 4. I don't think we're done yet.
You're teasing me for a half hour?
Yeah, well, right. I'm just telling you that, like,
I'm excited.
That's when that conversation is coming, because I don't think we're done yet with Oakland and A's fans and how you're feeling as the last Bay Bridge series comes to Oakland this weekend. So 888-957-9570. FP, who's worn both uniforms, is in for Dibs. It's Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
To Willard and Dibs.
I tell you what, this is one of the most perfect ways to end a sunny, glorious day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan. You know what I'm saying? It was pretty, pretty cool.
On 95.7 The Game.
Oh, so interesting, isn't it? FP is in for Dibs. And you don't just have to listen to the show. You can watch it as well. And FP just put his rally cap on, so you can see that if you want.
It's time to go, baby.
It is. It's time to boogie.
We're down three runs. It's the bottom of the eighth.
It's time for the big one.
Paul Skeens is pitching right now. I just got an update.
Oh, yeah? How's he doing?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. That's not a very good update.
Let me look. It just came up on my watch.
Oh, okay. Twitch.tv/957thegame.
I love watching him hit.
YouTube. He's amazing. Oh. YouTube.com/957thegame. And it's all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. So, yeah, the last ever Bay Bridge series is this weekend. And I knew coming in, just because, you know, you and I, we've talked to enough A's fans over the years to know, I think, and I think A's fans even know this about themselves, like, it gets angry fast. It just does. And I get that. I get that. This is a super, super just awful situation. But I do think sometimes when people are coming from a, whether the word is sympathetic or whether it's understanding or whatever, when you're trying to look, it's as if a lot of the Oakland A's fans, they don't want to hear anything unless you're an Oakland A's fan. And I'm not going to fake that. I'm not. I grew up a San Francisco Giants fan through and through. I always have been, every single day. Yes, I rooted for the A's when they played the Dodgers in the World Series, because I root for anybody who's playing the Dodgers. That's called being a Giants fan. But I look at this situation as an outsider who is a Bay Area native, but granted, an outsider as an A's fan, and I don't feel like this weekend is the representative of loss. I think that that happened a while ago. I think it happened a while ago. I think that this has been going on for a long time. I think all of you have been treated like crap. And I know that that doesn't make it easier that they're leaving. But that's how I view it. I view it as, I wish that John Fisher would sell. He won't. Baseball has been complicit in many ways. And if that's what you're going to get, then go. Because you're awful. You're just awful. Listening
John to, Fisher, not
yes,
the A's.
Yes, John Fisher and Dave Cavill, who I've never spoken to in my life, but watching the stuff that he says and does on social media is mind-blowing. What a con man. What a complete and total con man. In an age where we got a lot of them running around on social media and in big places in our country. Lots of them. Lots of them. Then I just, that's what I compare it to. That's what those people sound like to me when they talk.
If you're a big baseball fan, huge. Is this series a big deal to you?
Yes.
It always has been?
Yes.
Really?
It's not a Dodgers series.
I've heard the arguments with my friends that are A's fans and my friends that are Giants fans, and the A's fans always used to be like, how many World Series do you have? And the Giants fan would be like, none. Now it's four, was it 4-3 now?
Well, no.
Not counting the Philadelphia.
San Francisco. San Francisco has three.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the Dodgers used to do the exact same thing, the Dodger fans. It's about championships.
And then they go, our ballpark's better.
And then they stopped winning championships.
How's your ballpark? Ballpark's better.
Yeah. Three is bigger than a third, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the championship, at least since Y2K. That's the count. Giants have three. The Dodgers have a third of a championship. So
I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you. 60-game schedule.
Thank you. As someone who played the game, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for saying that.
Dude, the grind of 162, both physically and mentally, is ridiculous. It is.
You worked for a team.
And then to play another 20 games or whatever it is in the postseason, all on adrenaline because your body's all dinged up and whoever gets hot at the right time wins.
Thank you.
And when you're playing in front of cardboard cutouts and you're not on the road and there's no hostile environment to play in and to win in, when it's cardboard cutouts that you're playing in front of. I mean, I've heard the other thing that, there was more rounds, and Bob Guerin, the bench coach for the Dodgers, tells me there was more rounds, and we had to spit in a cup every day, and we all had masks on the bench and in the clubhouse, and nobody could talk to each other, and it was even harder than a normal. No.
I didn't say that what you did was easy. I said that what you did was not win a regular World Series. You didn't. And I don't, like, I know when I say that, because we've done this 100 times since then, and I know people, oh, it's, you know, like, Giant fan poking at Dodger fan. Sure, there's some of that, but I also truly believe what I'm saying. Like, to call that the same as a regular World Series championship is bananas to me. You worked for a team that was 19-31 through 50 games and then won the World Series. 50 or 60 games is not a baseball season. I don't care who you are or what the hell's going on. You have masks on. You could be in a thong. I don't care what you're doing. That ain't a baseball season. So you won something, but it wasn't a baseball season.
The Nationals made the playoffs that year. Yeah, I mean, and they won the World Series.
Whatever. You didn't win a baseball season.
They would have not made the playoffs in the COVID year with that record.
Not even close.
And they turned things around and won a World Series.
A real World Series.
Would you? Okay, so what I always get when I rag on it, and I always do rag on the Dodgers winning the series during the COVID season, is that you would have been happy if the Giants won it. You would have been happy if the Giants won it.
I never told a Dodger fan not to be happy. You can be happy. Yes, I'd have been happy if the Giants had won it. I remember watching that season. I was rooting hard for them on the last day with Austin Slater at the plate for the Giants to get a hit and go to the playoffs. I hoped that they did. They didn't. Would I have been happy? Sure. Would I have called it the same as 2010, 12, and 14? GTFOH.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop it.
Get cardboard cutouts on Market Street with fake noise and confetti.
All of a sudden, Clayton Kershaw can pitch in October because there's nobody in the stands.
Dude, that's the thing.
What a coinky dink.
I said this the whole season. You can't. There were so many guys that had good years for 60 games, right? And presidents and GMs were evaluating guys. There was nobody in the stands. Some guys freeze up, man. We talked about it during the handoff thingy today, man. Like, there's golfers that can golf on Thursday and Friday, can't golf on Saturday and Sunday. There's guys that get nervous in front of fans. So when you have cardboard cutouts and guys are crushing and you're on the road and there's cardboard cutouts that ain't booing you and telling about your mom, I mean, that's a different environment.
Yeah.
It's hard to play in New York as a visiting player. There's cities where it's hard to play on the road in those hostile environments. It's a thing. And some players can handle it and some players can't. So that year, to win a World Series or to even have a good year, when a pitcher's just trying not to get hurt and guys are playing not to get hurt, and it was a watered-down brand of baseball. I don't care what you say. These guys were playing 70% every night. I know the manager of the Washington Nationals told his players, don't get hurt. They're coming off a World Series win. They didn't get to do their victory lap, which really sucked for the guys. You're supposed to have sellouts every night,
yep,
celebrating a World Series, and you got cardboard cutouts in the stadium. And the motto was just don't get hurt. We're doing this for the fans. We're doing this because they're telling us to do it.
Yeah, America needed it.
We have to do it. And I think a lot of guys realized that, but they also realized that there was nothing they could do to further their career in a 60-game schedule. So they all just kind of played it like a spring training.
Yeah, game. There was no minor league baseball. You couldn't call people up. There were key players who sat out, Buster Posey being one of them. You know, I just, yeah, like it.
Dude, that's gross time, man.
Yeah, it was a thing. It wasn't regular. It wasn't the same. I'll die on that hill. Don't you worry about
same.
That. Same. Yeah. Michael in Fremont, thank you for calling. You're on with Willard and FP. What's up, Michael?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to, you know, chime in real quick. I grew up in Sacramento, you know, grew up loving the A's, and, you know, it's kind of weird, man. As much as I hated losing, like, some of the great players that, you know, came through, I don't know if I'm just conditioned or jaded in a weird way, but it's kind of always added to the romance of being an A's fan, like, you know, the broke small market team that finds a way to be competitive. And, you know, I'm 28. I've never witnessed a championship team. I'm a 49ers, A's, Sharks, and Sacramento Kings fan. And as many great teams as I've seen, haven't witnessed not one parade. And I think I feel pretty justified leaving the A's in Vegas. But I just can't, man. I've tried, and I can't. So I'm sticking with them through and through. That's all I got. Thank you.
And I get that. Like, I hope that people understand that, too. Like, that's a personal thing. You want to stick with your team? I'd argue most people do. Most people do. When your team leaves, I've watched a lot of fans go through this in multiple sports. You stick with them. You don't know what else to do. You can't, like, I know people threaten that a lot. I'm done with my team. Well, sometimes that's not what your heart agrees with. Your mind can say that all you want, but like, you're not going to know if you're actually leaving the team until you sit down and watch a game with them with a different city on their chest and then find out if you still care. Then ask yourself, did I actually leave? Or are you still watching and rooting?
I would love to know from A's fans if they're going to go to Sacramento and watch the Sacramento A's. Or are they just done? I'm guessing, could be way off here, that it would be more A's fans than less that are going to go drive down I-80 to see them play.
I agree with you. And as a non-A's fan, I will tell you, and this is really going to sound weird, I am more likely to go to an A's game next year than I am this year. For multiple reasons. One, we're going through Sacramento during the summertime all the time, whether we're on the way to Tahoe or seeing friends and family up in Sac. We're up there a lot. I also think there's a novelty to it. Aaron Judge in a tiny little ballpark. Is that like there? I'd like to see that.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
I mean, is he going to hit the ball like
into the river?
Is it still going to be going up when it goes over the fence?
Going to hit the 16th Street Bridge?
There's a piece of me that would be like, I'd love to. What does this look like? Major league game in a minor league park. Let's take a look at it. You know what I mean? Not from an emotional standpoint. Not going to go root for the A's. Not going to root against the A's.
Just kind of like a car accident just in NASCAR?
Just check it out. Like, we're in Sac. Let's see this. What do you want to do tonight? You know? It might happen. So I'm with you. I think people are going to go because, one, a lot of you will stay A's fans, and two, there's a novelty to next year that doesn't exist right now. And then three, I mean, there are some people who don't blame the A's. You know, there are a lot of A's fans blame the city of Oakland. So if they're playing in a different city, maybe they're more likely to see him. I don't know. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go to Gene in Oakland. Hi, Gene. What's up?
Hey, fellas. So, starting off, first of all, thanks for bringing up the A's again. It gives me a chance to go through my brief history with them and also to rant yet again against the horrible ownership. I was thinking about that last caller, but I guess the second to last. Anyway, the young fellow, the 28-year-old, says he never experienced a championship. I at least got to experience three of them since I came here in 73. But I'm sorry to say that as long as John Fisher owns this team, they will never, and I repeat, never win a championship, because that's just not how he runs the club. You know, I was a solid, loyal supporter of the team for many, many years until Fisher decided to gut the team. The 97 win team, you know, got rid of Olson and Chapman and a number of other excellent players, and that was it for me. So I've been trying to warm up to the Giants ever since. It's been kind of tough. I started, I guess, when they were about 500 the year before. They won 107 games, but ever since, it's frankly a struggle. They're a hard watch. They're going to learn how to hit better, hit in the clutch better or something. But I am making the effort. But meanwhile, unless this team is sold, I won't go to Sacramento. I won't go to Oakland. I won't go anywhere to put another dime in this man's pocket.
Interesting take. I like that. That's a hardcore take. I want to hear from other people that think that.
It's a very good take.
Like, I'm not putting another dime in this man's pocket or another man in this man's pocket.
That's like when I said
depending how small the man is.
That's like when I said that there are staircases on the steps.
Or how big the pocket is. I'll stop before I get kicked off the air.
I think that that's actually a great take. And here's one thing where, and this is, I would say, where you could draw a little bit of a line from the A's to the Giants. Here's because someone tried to do it earlier. Oh, they're the same thing, right? And the Giants have become West Bay A's. Okay, here's one thing that when I look at ownership in Bay Area sports right now, okay, John Fisher, you're awful. Joe Lacob, you're fantastic. Jed York, I think you're underrated. I think you've, whatever the hell was going on, you know, with your sort of reputation a decade ago. Come on, people. Come on, right? In the famous words of Rick Barry, come on, people. Like, look what the 49ers, whatever, Levi Stadium, their son out. Okay, it, like, just look what's going on. It's acquisitions, it's hardcore, it's paying people, it's keeping homegrown. All that that says to me, all I want, if you're the owner of my team, is tell me that you're trying all the time.
You left one owner out.
I'll get there.
All right.
Tell me that you're trying.
Stirring the pot over here.
All the time. That's all I can ask for. I can't ask you to be perfect. I can't ask you to nail every pick. I can't ask you to nail every signing. I can't ask for all the breaks to go your way. But I can tell when you're trying from a genuine place to win and be entertaining. Niners, I got no questions. Warriors, Zippo. Giants, I have questions. And that's at the core of the frustration right now, because while everybody wants to scream Farhan, 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 and that's fair, I wonder why there aren't more questions about his bosses. Because
like what, though? Like, what questions?
What are you trying to do?
If you saw the owner of the Giants and you had a beer with him,
what's your goal?
It's not on air. It's just you and him at Momo's.
What's your goal every year?
Or the Hotel Via rooftop.
What's your goal
See
every year?
See me get the sponsor in?
Yeah.
That's the first question?
That's the first question. And then when he answers it the way that I know that he'll answer it, I'll have follow-up questions.
My goal is to, what if he tells you his goal is to win a World Series?
And then I will say, how are you going about doing that? Tell me what is your process.
I'm not playing owner here.
I know.
You want to see my bank account?
That's why it's a 1-2 punch of a question, because yes, of course they'll say that publicly. What's your evidence? What's your evidence? I see you reaping the rewards of real estate
I guess
all
I would
over
say,
San Francisco. I don't see. $200 million payroll. Okay, one time.
I spent $300 million this offseason so that we could go to the playoffs.
Okay.
I'll role play.
And then you started cutting money. That's 100 games later, you started cutting funds.
That sounded fun to just say that.
Yeah.
I spent $300 million.
Yep. And then you got some of it back when it wasn't going well.
Well, that wasn't the person I thought I was signing. I didn't want to sign a leadoff hitter. I wanted to sign a middle of the order guy to hit home runs and drive in runs.
Then why don't you try to get something in return?
He felt better leading off, and I didn't want to lead him. When we signed him, we talked about him hitting fourth.
Okay. And then when you got rid of him, why didn't you try to get something in return other than savings?
That's all we could get.
I don't believe you.
Well, I'll show you the phone conversations that I had with all the teams.
There are literally sourced reports that would state that the Giants had a choice of either having the Braves spend all of the money or have the Giants still spend some of the money and the Giants would get good prospects in return.
I offered Carlos Correa $80 trillion. I offered Aaron Judge $4 gazillion.
You're getting real good at finishing second. Why didn't you follow through with Carlos Correa?
Who else did I offer money to?
Bryce Harper.
Thank you.
Shohei Ohtani.
I did.
Shohei.
You should have saw the show we put on for Mr. Ohtani and his interpreter. Who was on his phone a lot. He's always on his phone. It's weird.
That guy looks addicted to his phone.
He's worse than FP on his phone.
He's like FP Santangelo. He's so addicted to his phone. It's unbelievable. That's the core. I don't trust them. I don't trust them. I might be wrong.
What would make you trust them?
A different process that was leading to more results.
So you would trust Giants ownership?
This is the
they won more?
No.
This is fun, by the way.
I love the idea that suddenly they've gone into a $200+ million payroll and they're like, look at us. What have you been doing the last 5 years? You're in San Francisco. You're a marketing absolute machine.
That's the part that's really hurting us, Mark. We're in San Francisco and I can't get hitters to sign in this ballpark.
Okay.
Because it's cold, the ball doesn't carry, and they don't want to come here.
I don't buy that.
I've offered them quadrillions of dollars.
Then offer them more. You have it.
I don't have.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Show me your books.
Mission, I don't have to show you anything.
Mission Rock.
Mr. Radio Boy.
Mission Rock. How much you making there?
It's not open yet.
It will be. Why, if you know that you're going to have a hard time battling other teams in free agency, why would you not bake it into your process to overpay? Why would you not know that you need to offer more than the next team?
Because I don't want to overpay. Who wants to overpay? You think I'm a billionaire because I overpay everybody? The reason I am a billionaire is because I don't overpay everybody. I'm smart with my money.
Let me be a devil's advocate.
This is so much fun to say I'm a billionaire.
Let me be a devil's advocate then.
Yeah.
Prove to me. Show me what you can show me to prove to me that you're not purposefully finishing in second on all of these pitches.
What do you want me to prove?
Prove it to me.
I spent $300 million this offseason.
One time. You also spent...
How many times do I got to do it? And how's that working out? We're 500.
Okay. Well, maybe you...
I'm not happy that I spent that much money and the team's 500.
Why didn't you...
I spent that much money thinking we're going to the playoffs.
Why didn't you spend that much money before? You're in market... Five or six, your marketing
machine. I tried
machine.
To.
No,
we
didn't.
We spent $700,000 on two players that didn't want to sign here.
Will Clark, who works for your team, said on 95.7 The Game this morning that there was never a chance you were getting Aaron Judge.
One guy had a janky angle. The other guy wanted to be a Yankee Hall of Famer.
Answer my question.
I tried to sign both of them. And then the medical reports came up that he was playing on one leg.
It sounds to me like
I don't want a one-legged shortstop. Who wants a one-legged shortstop?
It sounds to me like you guys knew from the beginning that you weren't going to get Aaron Judge.
We knew. We thought we had a good chance because he liked Rich Aurelia.
I don't believe you.
Yes. We brought Richie in. We brought Buster in.
Why are you not a top 10 payroll every year? I would argue in the framework of baseball.
What do you think, I'm made of money over here?
Yes.
The U.S. Treasury just printing it?
I do.
I'm not.
Your dad throws money into the wind all the time.
Who's my dad again?
Yeah.
I don't even know. Should I know who my dad is?
Anyway.
All right.
That's how I feel.
We do this a lot. We role play a lot.
Well, that's how I... That is truly how I feel.
Can you dress up like a cop?
Well, I got personal,
some handcuffs for the next time.
Personal and weird, but anyway, yeah. Like when I like ownership is where the focus, in my opinion, should often be, and so that is it's actually at the core of some of the arguments that you'll hear even on this show when you hear me be a homer because I back. Everything that's going on with the 49ers, it's because I don't ask them to be perfect. I don't ask them to make every play call correct. I ask them to try their asses off. And they so clearly do. And the Warriors so clearly do. And the two baseball teams in this market, one so clearly doesn't. And the other one might be a snake in the grass.
Who's that?
The Giants. The Giants.
But it's all I can do as an owner, Mark, is say, I hope you make good decisions with my money to the decision makers. And then you make the decision, you come back to me and say, is that okay?
But do I really know?
I'm like, I don't know. I trust that this guy's good. Tell me he's good.
But I don't know that you're actually really opening the purse strings.
I thought Jung-Hoo Lee was a great offseason
sign. Why didn't you outbid the Phillies for Bryce Harper? What on earth would be your reasoning for not doing that? Why did you get outbid by the Phillies for Bryce Harper? How's that possible?
Bryce wanted to come here, but then Bruce Bochy wasn't here, so Bryce didn't want to come because Bochy wasn't going to be here.
I don't believe that at all.
That's 100% true.
Did you try outbidding the Phillies to see what would have happened?
Bryce Harper wanted to play for Bruce Bochy.
Did you try to outbid the Phillies?
It had to do with outbidding. It's like Bryce wanted to play for... Bryce is big on managers.
Did you try? Did you outbid the Phillies?
I don't know.
You didn't.
We didn't.
You stopped at 305 and they went to 335.
But Bryce wanted to be a Giant.
Well,
but he also wanted to play for Bruce Bochy.
Maybe you should have kept Bruce Bochy. We're presented by Fremont Bank.
Yeah.
Celebrating 60 years
now that we're looking at
of full service banking.
Do you know who the Phillies manager was Bryce Harper's first year?
Joe Girardi.
Gabe Kapler.
Gabe Kapler.
No, it wasn't. It was Joe Girardi.
2019 was his first year. With the Phillies, and that was Gabe Kapler's year.
All right. I got to look that up because I thought Bryce signed there with Joe Girardi.
Anyway, 888-957-9570. If you haven't heard what Debo said, and if you haven't heard what Kyle said, You're going to want to hear what Debo said and what Kyle said. That's next, FPN for Dibs, Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.